Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is another Tuesday Teaching Tip. Today, we're taking a look at some ideas from this book, Preaching with Humanity by Jeffrey Stevenson and Stephen Wright, subtitled A Practical Guide for Today's Church, Some Theology, Some Thinking, and Some Practical Ideas. And we're looking at the third chapter, which is called The Players in Preaching. By the way, if you've already subscribed to these podcasts, thank you so much. If you haven't, please do so and forward the link to anybody you think might benefit. Thanks very much. Now, back to the third chapter of this book. And it could be also subtitled Five Acts of Preaching. So the actors in preaching. Who's actually involved in preaching? And of course it isn't, here's a clue, just the person who's speaking. So five actors in preaching. The first one, preaching is an act of God. God is the primary actor in preaching, isn't he? We can't produce God's word, we can only present it. We can't guarantee that God will speak through his word. Only God decides whether to do so or not. And of course he does, but it's really up to him. Page 30 of the book has an interesting quote I rather like in summarizing this. Our part as preachers and congregations is to listen to what God has said in the past and pray for him to speak afresh today. We remember God's promises and place our trust in them. And of course, by putting our trust in them, in him. So it's God who's acting. Now, of course, God does act outside of our preaching. But how can people know whether what they perceive to be God acting is actually God acting? And part of the way that they can tell that is by using the preaching they hear, the teaching they get from God's word as a reference point. So part of our job in preaching and teaching God's word is to provide people with a reference point to then evaluate what they see and hear elsewhere to say, is that an act of God or not? So the first actor is God himself. The second is the church. The church is involved, because preparing, studying for lessons, getting our outlines together or our illustrations and things can be a bit of a lonely activity. But we do need to consider the history of the church and the way that the church has traditionally, if you like, interpreted the passage or the topic we're preaching on, because there's a lot of wisdom there. We should not ignore 2,000 years of teaching and preaching. Do you occasionally read other books or comments by people from generations past? It's important to think outside of our own tradition. It's important to have some self-awareness about how our background might affect the way we interpret a passage and then teach it to other people. Do you ever read commentaries or thinking on a passage from people from other church traditions, from other periods of history, 100 years ago, even 1,000 years ago? But what about other cultures or another gender? A man reading a commentary by a woman, or a woman who's speaking and teaching reading a commentary by a man. Different perspectives help us, and they help us to avoid dead ends and to look for new pathways for teaching the people that God has given us to teach. So secondly, the act of the church. Thirdly, preaching is an act of Scripture itself. Scripture has its own power and authority, doesn't it? All of us who've had the privilege to preach and teach God's word can sense that, can know that, and can even kind of see it, God having an impact through his word. The power and authority is in the word, not in us. So let it speak. I think that's the point here. Don't overinterpret. We don't have to give the congregation every little detail every time. There are three R's that might help us here. Firstly, read more slowly. As we get God's word in our hand and we open it and we read it, perhaps read it more slowly. The slower we read, within reason, the more then the word itself becomes its own authority, rather than us quickly reading it and then telling everybody what we think at great length. So perhaps, first of all, read more slowly. Secondly, refer back to it in the lesson. Keep referring back to the passage, as it says in that passage, as it says in that passage, like Jesus said right there in that passage, referring back to what's being said. And then thirdly, more specifically, re-quoting it. So not just reading it once and then talking about it, but going back to words and phrases and verses or even a whole paragraph and rereading it as part of the lesson. That helps the congregation to be reminded that this is an act of Scripture. Fourth act. The fourth actor in this is the congregation. In other words, the local congregation. Earlier, I spoke about the church. I don't mean there the local congregation. That's more the church in its historical context. But here, the local congregation. Preaching belongs to the congregation as much as it belongs to the preacher. Everybody's involved. There's an atmosphere of expectation should be fostered by a preacher or a teacher, as in, we're interconnected here. It's not just me telling you things, it's us learning things together. On page 35, let me give you another quote of this book. We have this thought. The way in which the congregation hears the voice of God is bound to go beyond the voice of the preacher. The congregation bring their own experiences, perspectives, and prejudices to the event. It is to and through those, most of them naturally hidden from the preacher's eye, that God's word is addressed. Preachers are not in control of the effect of their words, and some of the most enriching occasions in the life of a church can be those where the, quote, sacred conversation of preaching is prolonged, where preacher and hearers together can share in listening to what is being heard by different people and explore the consequences. This is a plea, partly at least, I think, for interactive preaching, where we make sure that we hear from the congregation, perhaps even in the act of preaching, their responses. We have two directions of reminders here, I think, going on. Firstly, the preacher reminding the congregation of universal truths from God's word. But secondly, also the congregation reminding the preacher of local needs. A preacher must have a conviction about the universal truths of the Bible and convey them, but he must also be, or she must also be, open to listening and hearing from the congregation about the needs that are there. Reminders and two directions. The church is the fourth actor. And the final and fifth actor, of course, is the preacher themselves. The act of the preacher in action. What is the act of preaching? Let me give you one thought. I mean, there are so many different ways to define this, but in page 37, we have this thought from the authors of this book. What is the act of preaching? The act of preaching and the human being who performs it represent God, the universal church, Scripture, and the congregation. Perhaps that's what preaching is. That's what it is. It's about us. It's about God. It's about the church as a whole. It's about Scripture. It's about the local congregation. It's pulling all those five actors together into one act of preaching and offering this to the congregation. In other words, we're a witness. We're a witness to the timeless truths of God's word that's outside of ourselves. We're just locating that, noticing it, understanding it, and then we're saying that is the truth. But also, we're a witness to the effect of that truth on us as a preacher or a teacher. If you like, the effect inside of ourselves, on our understanding, and also on ourselves in terms of our lifestyle, how this affects us in the way that we live. And of course, that's one reason why preparing a lesson the morning of its delivery or the day before really is not wise and not effective, because then the scripture doesn't have time to have an effect on us. If we're studying it all week, maybe longer, but at least all week, then the scripture has time to have an effect on us, and we can be a witness of its effect on us to the people that we will be speaking to. And that's so important. It needs to be real to us if we're going to convey it faithfully to other people. So there you are, your five actors in the act of preaching. What do you think of those five? Are there some I've missed out, or the authors have missed out in this book? Is there a stronger emphasis we should give to one of those actors more than another? And is there a good way to do that? I'd love to know your ideas. You can leave me a note anywhere you hear or see this recording. Or you could send me an email. The address is mccx@mac.com. So, let me know what you think. And if you wouldn't mind, please do hit that subscribe button and let other people know about these recordings if they'll be helpful to them. Thanks so much, and I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.